So I don't want you to feel like this is super formal, Mr. C. You know, just really have a conversation.
No, I'm used to this.
I guess just to...
I don't know if you have enough batteries.
It should be okay.
It's at least an hour long.
Okay, that's great. No, it should be fine. You know who I actually did my... you're only my second interview. I did one with Guru Pat Finley. And it was a great one because he had some good stories about... especially about Guru Dan when Guru Dan was younger. I didn't really get into... I think I asked him a little bit about Master Fred. We talked about Master Fred a little bit. And he was talking about, like, yourself and Tone Felix. But we didn't get into it too much because at some point I'd like to interview Tone Felix. And, you know, I feel like there's some overlap with some of that stuff there, too. Mm-hmm. So... I guess just to start, you know, like how, from the very beginning, if you're okay with this, how did you get started in martial arts? Like, how did it all begin?
Okay, so it all began when I arrived here in the Philippines. I was 5 years old, okay, and very timid, very shy, and couldn't speak a word of English, mm-hmm. so my confidence was just not there. So growing up into the public school system, kids made fun of me. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Miss Maria, would stick up for me and, you know, beat up the school bullies. Mm-hmm. And finally, one day, you know, she just, my friend and I, we were just in the backyard goofing off, and he was like on top of me, just goofing. And my sister thought he was beating me up. Uh-huh. So she took him and just slammed him and then, you know, and pretty much hurt this poor kid. And at that point, that's when then she started beating me up. Because she's like, well, you need to protect yourself. So I was like, okay. So again, and I was like, okay, I need to start learning martial arts or something. So I went to the library, got this book called Martial Arts. Uh-huh. I thought it read Martial Arts, but it was Martial Arts. But it was about different systems and so forth. So at the age of 8, 9 years old, I was starting to like become fascinated about different art forms. Mm-hmm. At the age of 11, I was in a dance, the Philippine... there was a group called PhilAM, the Filipino American Association, and they had a dance in the city, at the old Polish home club. And I was there. My mom are very involved, you know, in those events, groups or organizations. And I saw this guy doing like a kick of some sort. And I was just like, I was fascinated because he wasn't doing like a big kick. It was just like he just did like a low side kick. Mm-hmm. But it looked legit. And I went up to him. And I tapped him in the shoulder and I said, can you take me to your master? Because he looked like Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And he was, it's Master Victor Batong, uh-huh. right? So then he looked at me and then he said, sure. You know, and then he picked me up later on, you know, a couple of weeks later, he picked me up at my mom's house and took me over to Master Fred's school. So I was, I think maybe 12 at that point.
Uh-huh. How old was he?
Maybe 16, 17 maybe.
Okay.
Excuse me. So then I started training under Master Fred. I did really well. I got skipped a couple ranks. Mm-hmm. And Master Victor and I used to spar a lot. And, you know, we were just super fast. I mean, he was just super fast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just like watching two Bruce Lees going at it. But anyway, and Master Fred offered Eskrima under the Pikita Tersha. Chris Sayok system, and then that's when I started learning under Master Fred and Master Chris. Mm-hmm. And then from that point on, then, you know, I got my first degree black belt in that, and also with Master Fred. And my Lolo Kakwe came, Grandmaster Kakwe came, it was in the 90s or something like that. No, in the 80s. I think it was 82 or 83, something like that. And then Grandmaster Kakwe Kenyati told my dad that we were related. Mm-hmm. The Patalinghog and the Kenyatis were related. And my dad said, what, we're related? He goes, yeah, so you need to learn the Tosipari system. I'm like, of course. And then that's when Lolo Kakwe told me about Don Cuesta, who was staying in New Jersey. So I would travel every weekend for like the whole year or 2 years, back and forth, going to New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. So that's when I started learning the Dosipara system under Grandmaster Don Cuesta. Then from that point, then that's when I met up with Grandmaster Juni Kenyati, and then, you know, then started training under that system along with Kakwe Kenyete as well. But throughout those period, I was also trained under the Tatang Ilustrisumo and the Bakbakan group. Edgar Soliti, under the Lameco system, he actually spent some time with our family. He actually stayed in our home.
Wow.
And I got some really great footage with that. And I also trained with some shoot fighter named Eric Paulson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he stayed at my house.
Wow.
Yeah, we got some great footage. We're good friends.
Yeah.
And of course, that's when Guru Dan came in also. Great man. And also a little bit of Rema, Rempresas, Martin Arnis. Trained a little bit. And I took a couple seminars in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really primarily Dosi Paras at that point when I switched over. So then after that, you know, I went to, I started getting all these different, learning from different systems. And at 1988, I graduated from college, okay? And this is where now my life begins as a martial artist. And because now that's where I'd like to go into the next part of why I even created the school. Do you have any other questions before we go to that part?
I guess just like small, you know, just out of curiosity. So when you started with Dosi Paras with Don Cuesta, did you pretty much stop Paquita Tercia already? Or did you continue?
No, I pretty much stopped Paquita Tercia. But Paquita Tercia still is in me. You know, traditionally, Dosi Paras don't have sashes. But I wanted to keep the sash to honor my original, where I started from. And that's why I have the sash in my system. Typically, Dosi Paras is more of a karate influence in terms of their belt ranking. Because of Lulu Kakoi being Shotokan. And he also did Aikido and Western style boxing. But it was more Japanese influence. That's why they have belts in their ranking system. But to honor Paquita Tercia, because that was my foundation, I kept the sash. And that's why I do that. I mean, we should switch it to the Dosawari system, but as you know, Eskrima is constantly evolving. And I consider myself FMA, Filipino Martial Arts, you know, under the influence of Dosi Paras, but other influence as well. So I'm either Kakwe Kenyete or style or or Juni Kenyete style. I embrace all of that, and I try to take all those things and try to mix all the things I've learned from all the grandmasters learning to that. But we are Dosi Paras, you know. But I like to infuse in the other things also.
Well, I think it definitely seems very much in the spirit of like a multi-style. You know, like how Dosi Paras was from the beginning, like always very inclusive, trying to find the best things. In Paquita Tercia, how often did you see Chris Sayok? Did he only come down every once in a while, or was he around a lot?
We would go. I would go up to New York, in Jamaica, Queens, and learn there. And he would come here, stay like the whole summer with us. And it was a very, it was a teacher instructor relation, but it was more like close, like a brother. You know, that was our connection with him. You know. I would always call him Master Chris, but he was more like a silly brother, because he was very silly, you know. So we were very, very close in that respect.
And Master Fred.
Oh, gotta love Master Fred.
What was he like as a, what was he like as a teacher, Master Fred?
He was strict, but he knew when to hold back a little bit in terms of, you know, crack the jokes and so forth. You know, he loved to spar. You know, he was just an overall very intense teacher in terms of, what I mean by intense, that means like, I don't know if he would ever last now in this modern day martial arts, because what we did in the past were, I don't want to say illegal, but it would be looked down upon, you know. But, you know, he was just filled with intensity, you know. And that's where I would get the intensity from. Like, you know, our black belt tests, you know, when we have to do those push-ups, and we would just very intense man, but he knew when to joke around.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing that he was very, he was crazy like Master Chris in, mm-hmm. In the sense that he was very, just free-spirited, I guess, mm-hmm. is the right word.
And then all this time, Mr. Carlos, was Father Leo and Miss Maria, they were always with you the whole time? Or were there times where...
Oh, Miss Maria started later.
Mm-hmm.
Father Leo was close with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was me and him
mm-hmm.
going up the ranks, and
yeah.
my father also. My sister started a little later towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about the past, then, how when does all the breakdancing fit in?
Okay. So, all right. So growing up, we did the martial arts,
uh-huh.
okay? And my mom taught folk dancing,
mm-hmm.
okay? And... So at the age of 11, 12 years old, that's when I started also to doing the folk dancing. Maglalatik, Tinikling, Karin Masurka, and Sayo Sabanko, and my mom would teach, of course, the other dance to the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then after that, after the folk dancing, in the Maglalatik part, you know, because Maglalatik was a dance depicting the battle between the Christians and the Muslims. And then I said, Mom, let's incorporate some of the martial arts stuff into that battle.
Yeah.
And that's when we started incorporating the flying kicks and the aerial, you know, acrobatic kicks. And then that's when, after that part, you know, then we started incorporating... after the performances, then we would do, like, the demonstrations... Then, in 1983, when breakdancing came out, I noticed that, and that's when we jumped in the bandwagon. After I saw Flashdance, that was it. It's like, I have to learn this. Excuse me. So, you know, we would just watch videos, and then, of course, going back and forth to New York, I realized that, you know, Felix Cortez
mm-hmm.
was... His friends were part of the Dynamic Rockers.
Uh-huh.
Back then, there were three groups that were really well-known in the early 80s. It was New York City Breakers, Rocksteady Crew,
mm-hmm.
and the Dynamic Rockers. All right, and then when I found out that, you know, Felix knew the Dynamic Rockers, that, you know, those guys started teaching Felix breakdancing, and that's when Felix and I would connect.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool because there was one point where I was doing, Felix and I competed in a tournament. Felix would win all the time because he was just my, you know, he was my instructor.
Uh-huh.
And he had this crazy aerial, we call him like a flare kick where they do like a back layover. And he had a sword for me and he was just like phenomenal with that. But we competed. And so I said to myself, what can I do to win against my instructor?
Yeah.
So what I did was, I was the first one to throw windmills with sticks, and then put the backspin with these sticks beside me, so you can visualize this backspin,
mm-hmm.
and sticks. It looked like one of those blade, one of those games. One of those things
like
called?
A top, sort of
yeah,
like
top.
A spinning top,
yeah, spinning top. And at that point, the judges saw that, and they voted for me, and it was the best day of my life because I actually won against my instructor,
uh-huh.
but it was all good,
yeah.
You know. So that's after that. That's when we started incorporating more of the break dancing. So we would do the folk dancing, then we would do the break dancing, you know,
that's awesome.
Into that, martial arts into the break dancing. And then that's when we started getting more into, you know, expanding out into other shows and stuff like that. And that, also that's when lip syncing started to become popular back in 1985, 6, 87. And that's, we also incorporated that lip syncing thing.
Man.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
As Prince.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's awesome. So I guess transitioning, how did the idea, or how did you guys end up building and forming Kid Connection?
Okay, do we have enough time? You sure?
I think we do, yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
You sure?
I think so.
All right. Okay, now this is the part where this is super, super personal,
mm-hmm.
and this is literally going to take, I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes, probably not, but I'll do my best, because this would take about an hour.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
It's very detailed.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Have you ever had a vision before?
Are you talking about like a...
No, not a visionary experience, but have you ever had a dream when you know you're asleep, but you're analyzing your dream as your dream is happening? So you're like conscious.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what I'm about to share with you is very personal, all right? And this is why, this is my purpose, mm-hmm. and why I was created. All right. So, here I am getting ready to graduate from University of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pre-med student, but it wasn't my calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would get every time I get a needle, I would faint.
Yeah.
So I told my dad, I don't think this is my calling in life. And he said, Carlos, it's okay. You know, with malpractice insurance, it's not as noble to be a doctor anymore these days. He says, so you can do whatever you want. So when he said that, I felt like, okay, I'm open now to whatever God wills for me. But throughout that time, he was molding me
mm-hmm.
from the early childhood to... excuse me.
That's okay.
That's my wife. I'm going to put this... Pause. Honey?
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here with Joe Maranya, and he's interviewing me. Oh, when are you coming back? Okay, yay.
Okay.
Okay, so Gamay and CJ is coming up Wednesday morning, what time?
Yes.
It's okay, you don't need to explain.
No.
Yeah. Okay, just talk to me later, all right? So you coming back Wednesday and Friday morning?
Yes.
Friday morning. Okay, it doesn't matter. Yay, I miss you, honey. Wednesday, 5 o'clock in the morning? Tell him to take an Uber. That's fine. I'll figure it out. Okay. All right, we'll figure it out. I'll talk to you later. Okay? Okay. I love you. Bye. They're just coming back from... let me just put this in. Bye. Okay. Ready?
Yep. Okay.
Already. Okay, sorry for the commercial
break. No, it's
break.
Okay.
All right, so I was getting ready to graduate from University of Baltimore, but I didn't know what to do with myself. I wasn't sure, you know, if I should work for a company or whatever. And this is where then I had a dream,
mm-hmm.
which was confirmed a vision by several priests from the
really?
Vatican. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is what happened to me back in 1988, mm-hmm. okay? Okay. So... The dream consists of this. I was standing on Hanover Street.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was standing, there were people standing around me. And in my dream, it was like the end of times.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very dark, very gloomy. And I looked over to back where Hanover and Patapsco intersect. And standing in the middle of that road was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him because his face looked like the Shroud of Turin. He was
mm-hmm.
very bold. And he was wearing a robe, like a white robe of some sort. And then it was so visual that I remember that he had the robe and he had a sash around his waist. And then he pointed to a pickup truck. And I remember him pointing because the sleeves drooped down from his hands. And he was like a junkyard pickup truck, sort of. Old 1940s style. So he said, get on the pickup truck. So I got on the back end of the pickup truck. But there were other people in back of the pickup truck also. And it was taking us towards Hanover Street, going towards Harbor Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But the road was very bumpy and, you know, and winding. And one of the guys, so there's people sitting in this pickup truck. One of the guys asked the guy sitting beside me earlier, he asked if I could give him my spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, sure. So he sat down and I gave him my spot. He sat down and he asked the guy sitting beside me earlier saying, why did he move? Referring to me, why did... Okay, it's a commercial break.
There's Matt.
Hey, it's Joy. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, sorry. It's my iPad.
Good to see you.
Hello.
Shannon's in the car. We went to the patient first.
Huh?
We went to the patient first.
Patient? Oh, is she okay?
She has a virus.
She has a virus?
Yeah. She'll be fine.
Okay, it's just a virus, right? It's not like something
coming. Nothing bad.
All right, good.
Right.
All right. Just lock up when you... Do me a favor, when you leave, just lock it up, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right, back. So he asked me why I got up and gave him my seat. Mm-hmm. And so the guy said, well, he moved because he's a nice guy,
mm-hmm.
and he'll do things for people. And I heard him say that to my in my head, and I heard him say that, and I said, I guess I'm a pretty decent guy, you know. And this road now takes us, like I said, towards Hanover Street. And it dumps us off. Now we're walking in two rows,
mm-hmm.
two lanes. I was on the right-hand lane, not on the left-hand lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking, and there's thousands of people in front of me and thousands of people in back of me. As we're walking, we cross this bridge, and there are these golden pillars that are forming on the side of the bridge, like, you know. And I touch it. And it sort of like disappears. It was like mystical.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So anyway, at the end of the bridge was a man sitting down on a throne.
Mm-hmm.
Long, full white hair, long, full white beard, dressed in white. Okay? Sitting to his right-hand side was Jesus. And I saw him earlier. That's why I knew it was him. So I wasn't on Jesus' lane. I was in this man's lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up to him, and he says to me, Carlos, pray sons of our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, excuse me? And he said, pray sons of our fathers. And I didn't want to ask him again what he said, because I don't want to think I was stupid, because there were all these other people in back of me wanting to see this guy. So I turned off to the side so the next person could come in and see him. But I was troubled. And I said to myself, I was talking to Jesus sort of. Now Jesus was busy talking to these people coming up, and I said, in my head, I said, Jesus, I'm troubled with what this man said. Could you explain to me what he said? And he stopped what he was doing, and he looked over to me, and he said, pray, sons and our fathers. And it's the same thing this guy said. And I said to him, seven our fathers? And he said, no. And I said, 77 our fathers? And he said, no. And I said, 777 our fathers? And he says, yeah. So don't forget that number, okay? 777.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, okay, which I actually did pray 777.
Oh my gosh.
All right, after my dream. So anyway, so after that, this pickup truck now, instead of going northbound towards Harbor Hospital, now it takes us back southbound on Hanover Street. So now we're in this pickup truck, all right, in this pickup, you know, going back south towards Brooklyn, and it dumps us off in the classroom. So here I am now in a classroom. I'm sitting in a classroom, in a desk, and there's people in back of me, and there's a chalkboard in front, and there's two people dressed in white on the two end of the chalkboard. And for some reason, I just felt like they were my guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two. Mm-hmm. I need as much, all the help I can get. So I have two. And they were viewing my life in front of this chalkboard, okay? So all of my sins were revealed, shown to all of the people in back of me,
mm-hmm.
all right? So I was embarrassed because there was a moment where this beautiful blonde woman was walking across.
Mm-hmm.
It was shown,
mm-hmm.
and I remember I looked down and I was embarrassed because of my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And this angel said, I knew what you were thinking of when you saw that beautiful woman walked across. And I was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I was ashamed. So I just looked down. Okay? This other angel asked this question to the people in that room. He said, if you're an adult and you're trying to teach a child something, how would you go about it? And the adults raised their hands and they said, we're adults, we treat them adults, treat kids. And this angel goes, yeah, okay. But this is how Carlos would do it. I'm thinking, well, what's he going to say now? And he said, he will become like a child. I said, what? This is crazy. I want to become like a child? you know what you're talking about. And I thought about it when he said that, and I said to myself, man, that's absolutely right. Because before I opened up Kid Connection, I used to teach in my mom's basement to 3-year-old and 4-year-old kids. And if you ever see me around children, mm-hmm. I said, that's my special teaching techniques that I use. When I teach kids, I'm a kid. When I'm talking to a woman, I'm like a woman. If I'm talking to a gung-ho stick fighter guy, I'm a gung-ho stick fighting guy. If I'm talking to a 21-year-old or senior citizen, I think and act like that person. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm gonna be able to communicate myself. There's the commonalities, like, but that's my special teaching techniques that I use to like I sort of like assimilate or mm-hmm. become them so they can welcome me. Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yeah.
If you ever see me with kids, I'm
yes.
a kid.
Yes, definitely.
If you ever see me with breakdancing guys, I'm a b-boy. If you see me with women, I'm a woman. Well, I'm not really a woman. I talk like one. I think like one. Mm-hmm. But that's how I become one with you, sort mm-hmm. of. And I said to myself, wait, how does he know me so well? How do these guys know me? So this room opens up from a classroom. It opens up into a dark valley. Mm-hmm. And there's people there dressed in black. Black long sleeve shirt, black pants. You know, they're dancing minus like this, as if they're like in a punk concert or a goth mm-hmm. concert. I don't know,
yeah.
whatever. And one guy comes up to me and he says, so, hey, Carlos, how many Our Fathers did you have to pray? I said, oh, man, I don't know. I had to pray over 777 Our Fathers. Mm-hmm. And he said, really? I'm like, yeah, why? And his face turned as white, like whiter than, you know, this is actually not white, but, you know, a white, like super white,
yeah.
pale. And I said to him, what's wrong, brother? And he says, well, I'm a lawyer now. I'm making all this money in the world. But how come I didn't offer? How come I didn't sacrifice? I'm like, I don't know. And he got really scared. And then all of a sudden, the Grim Reaper shows up. This thing's about like maybe 20 feet tall. Of course, a typical hooded, but his face was elongated, like this. His, you know, and then he looks over down at this lawyer. This lawyer was like super tall, he was like 6 foot tall. But this Grim Reaper looks over. And then this Reaper takes him off from the ground, pulls him up, like he turned into a weed as he did that, and then he sips him like this. Poof, and they vanish. And I'm seeing this. I'm like, what in the world just happened? This thing shows up, grabs this lawyer guy, takes him off from the ground, and then he turns into a weed, and he inhales them, and then I'm like, what in the world's going on? I'm scared. And I'm like, frightened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like crying. Like, what's going on here? All right? And something in the back of my mind says this. All right? Tell your brothers and sisters. I'm like, what? And I'm crying. And it says, make sure they're picked and spread the news. I'm like, what? What? This is me thinking my dream. Now, this is my dream. This is a dream.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what? Tell my brothers and sisters. Make sure they're picked. Oh, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And spread the news. The news is the gospel. But I didn't know that back then.
Mm-hmm.
I just was just reiterating what was told to me
yeah.
in my dream. Okay, tell my brothers and sisters, make sure they're picked, spread the news. Okay. Now the dream becomes a dream within a dream. Now that scene turned, I mean, is now, you know, a different scene. Now I'm telling my fiance,
mm-hmm.
Alicia,
mm-hmm.
about my dream in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling her what happens. We're sitting at a table. The table is short this way, but it's long this way. Like, again, symbolisms of table of eternal life. As I'm telling you about what just happened, there's a man in the far end of the table, dressed in black, black hair, black face, black long-sleeved shirt. But he wasn't like a black man. He was just charred black. As I'm telling Alicia what happened, this guy says to Alicia, don't listen to that dream. Don't listen to that dream. And I tell him, hey, you better shut your mouth. And he says, no. And all of a sudden, he has this revolver in his hands. He's spinning around. Like he's going to shoot us.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden, something appears in my hand. It looks like a box, but it was a black box, like a cell phone almost. And then this box appears in my hand. Remember, this was 1988.
Mm-hmm.
We never had cell phones back
mm-hmm.
then. But it was a black box,
mm-hmm.
like a cell phone. And then I chuck it at him. And the gun, I mean, the box hits this guy's hand.
Mm-hmm.
The gun comes flying towards me. And I do this Jet Li move in the air, of course. I grab the gun, dive roll, grab him by the neck, and I scare him. I shoot the ground. And just to scare the guy, and I turned back, his face had transfigured into a pig's head with a bullet hole in the center. And he's screaming with a human body, and screaming, like a pig, squealing.
Terrifying.
Like, oh my God, what is happening here? And finally, two people dressed not in white now, but they're dressed in blue, which is the symbolism of the Blessed Mother, the Blue Army. They appear, and they struggle with this demon of some sort. And they're struggling with him, and they're struggling with him. They take him away, and they're screaming. And all he hears is, screaming, I'm holding this gun. Like, what is going on here?
Oh my gosh.
And finally, the phone rings, and it's Alicia waking me up. Because in that time, back in, you know, when we were dating, she would wake me up all the time with a phone call.
Uh-huh.
And I finally wake up, and I'm sweating, and I'm crying. And I'm like, what just happened to me? What just happened to me? And I'm thinking, right? You spoke to me. Now what do we need to do? Okay, so here I am. I'm driving back to the University of Baltimore shaken because I need to know. And now I knew that I had a destiny. I don't know what it was, but I didn't know what to do with myself. I'm driving. And the funny thing, if you ever go to Harbor Hospital from going northbound,
mm-hmm.
it's a straight road. But on that road, you will notice that there's like this incinerator, this chimney, with lights flicking on, all right? And so whenever I'm on Hanover Street, I will never forget that, because if you're on Hanover Street, there's this ginormous, it's like a big chimney,
mm-hmm.
that's where they burn the trash, and I'm driving, and it's just a constant reminder of my dream.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now, that ends the dream, all right? Can I, now, the second part now of this is the reality of what's going about to take place, all right? So first of all, who was that man at the very end of the bridge? I had no idea who it was, but he said the same thing. He was dressed in white. Sitting to his right hand side was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So who sits at the left hand side? God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently in my dream I saw God the Father, because he's depicted usually with an old, you know, again, we don't know what the Creator looks like, but for us humans, usually it's with a long hair, which symbolizes wisdom, knowledge, and great. Okay. Because he said the same thing Christ said, the praise Father. The number 7 is a holy number.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive your brother 7 times 7 times 7,000 times,
mm-hmm.
which means infinitely. So, in other words, he was saying, pray infinitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what the number 77 was. All right, and you know, going back. When there's movement in dreams, it means that there's traveling, that you're called to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So traveling forward and then going back, I had a purpose to revealing my, you know, I had a purpose of
mm-hmm.
telling the people about my dream. anyway, so don't forget that number 777,
okay.
Because now this is the part 2 of this dream. So here I am thinking, what am I going to do with my life?
So is this still in the dream?
Okay, now the dream, now I'm a wide awake now.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do with my life? God spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me. Okay, well, I'm about to graduate with a marketing degree. You know what? I'll open up martial arts school.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm pretty good at it, I guess. You know, I'm sort of kind of patient. And, you know what, I'll open up a school. I had no business, you know, I just knew, just open it and they shall come. That was my attitude. And I knew God would provide somehow. So in 1988, I graduated from college, all right? I open up my school, all right? And I get married.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1989 now,
mm-hmm.
okay? So here I am, opening up my school. Open up K-Connection.
Here, right here.
No, okay. So it's called Kick Connection, not Carlos's Karate Center, because if you notice, there's 3 people, which symbolizes Taekwondo, Eskrima, and back in 1987, I created Health Kick Karate Aerobics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually the first one to combine dancing, kicking, punching, martial arts before Thai Ball was created. So in 86, 87, I was already marketing health kick karate aerobics. I was teaching at Spa Lady, trying to promote this thing. So I created that so that the parents could get involved. And if you notice, the three symbols really represents the Holy Trinity. Okay, and that's why I have those things in my emblem. Alright? And I wanted to call it Kick Connection because I wanted little Johnny to do martial arts, dad to do martial arts, and mom to do martial arts. So instead of families being dispersed, I wanted the families to come together. Alright? That's why I called it Kick Connection. Alright? Alright, so I open up Kick Connection. Alright, so here I am looking at, I'm in my mom's home. And there is this article about Medjugorje.
This was back in 89.
All right, so now I've already opened up the school. I'm a couple months into it now. So I open up this school, and I love the Blessed Mother. You know, Mama Mary and I, now going back to my high school years, I went to Mount St. Joe. I always just go to the chapel, and I would just pray all the time. And the brothers thought I was going to be a priest, and they asked me, but I told them, but I don't know, brother, I met this girl in Alicia, so I knew I wasn't called to be a priest. Plus, I'm too weak to be a priest. I'm too emotional. But anyway, so there's this article about Medjugorje. So I'm reading about this article about Medjugorje, and I'm thinking, wow, Blessed Mother is appearing in Yugoslavia. Back then it was Yugoslavia, now it's Croatia. So I'm reading on, and, you know, one of the visionaries asked the Blessed... No, hold on, let me backtrack. When Our Lady told the kids, you know, to pray, to fast, you know, because she said, you know, my son can no longer carry the weight of the sins of the world. She was warning the children, go back to Mass, go back to fasting, go back to prayer. And I'm reading, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is really serious. Because I knew about Fatima. I knew about, you know, Garabandal. I knew about all these things. But I didn't know about Medjugorje. And then... one of the vision, and then she said this. She said, pray the Medjugorje prayers. And I said, okay, what's the Medjugorje prayer? She said, to pray the Apostles' Creed once. And then she says, to pray seven Our Fathers, seven Hail Mary, and seven Glory Be. I'm like, whoa. 777 popped in my head right away. I'm like, wait, that's a coincidence. Because I remember that number was connected to my dream. And I read on. And then one of the visionaries asks Our Lady, when is your birthday? And the Blessed Mother says, well, the church celebrates my birthday September the 8th. But my birthday is really August the 5th. August the 5th? What? And I looked over, and at that point I closed, and I said to her, well, I'm going to go to Medjugorje. I'm going to go. Do you know what August the 5th is? It's the grand opening of Kick Connection.
Oh, really?
Yes. All right? And that's when I knew I need to go to Medjugorje.
Yeah.
So I started reading about Medjugorje. And then I invited my brother, who was agnostic, Father Leo, at that point.
Really?
Yes. All right? He was agnostic. I said, hey, Joe, you want to go to Medjugorje with me? And he goes, no, you're stupid. I'm not going to go. It's communistic. And I'm like, come on. Look, I'll pay for it. And like, you can't even afford it, because remember, we had just started. We were making $300 a month. I was making $300 a month. And he says, how are you going to afford it? And he says, you know what, Joey? Somehow the Blessed Mother is going to help me get the money together. So do you want to come? And he goes, no. And he goes, all right, fine. If it's a free trip, I'll go. So I invite my sisters and my brother, you know, and a woman who was Miss Bond. I don't know if you remember Miss Bond.
I don't think so.
She was 70 years old. She got up to Brown's Ash. Anyway, so she... so she came with us. She's Protestant, Presbyterian.
Yeah.
So she came with me, and that following night when Joey said he was going to go, remember, this guy was agnostic. You know, he had full, he was just, he knew about God, but at that point in his career and in school, he just didn't follow. So he calls me up that night, and he said, Manuel. I says, yeah. You know, I told you I was going to go. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I just want to ask you a question. I'm like, yeah. You know, I have this rosary. I'm like, yeah, we all have rosaries. But Manoy, something happened to it. I'm like, what do you mean? It turned into gold. I'm like, what? Yeah, Manoy, it turned gold. I'm like, Joey, Our Lady has plans for you. And he goes, whatever, shut up. Because that's how we talk to each other.
Sure.
It's very sarcastic.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, Joey, you need to hold on to your britches because Blessed Mother's got plans for you. He goes, yeah, whatever, get out of here. So our first day, when we land in Medjugorje, there's a cross that the people erected, and this cross turns. There's no electricity up there.
Uh-huh.
Flares come out of this cross, and there's, again, there's no electricity. Those are some of the visible signs that God is saying, I'm present here. I'm present everywhere, but I'm using this place in a special way for you heathens that don't understand me, that you need signs. And I say, hey, Joey, look at that. And he goes, what's up with that? Is that like a, are they having like a fiesta up there or something? I'm like, no, brother, we don't know where the flares are coming from. And he goes, whatever. So anyway, first night in Medjugorje, we're holding hands, and we're singing Kumbaya, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, with Italians and Germans, and my brother's not a huggy-feely kind of person. He's like, get away from me, weird people. So he sits down away from the public, and next thing you know, he's crying. He's shaking his head. And I'm looking at him like, what is wrong with him? And look, following night, I asked him, Joey, are you all right? I mean, I'm sorry, but you got to try to, like, enjoy yourself while you're here.
Yeah.
It's not that, Mano, he says. But you're never going to believe this. I'm like, what? Mama Mary asked me to be a priest. I'm like, what? The Blessed Mother asked you to be a priest? I'm like, no, bro, are you serious? He goes, yeah. And what did you say? He goes, no. He said no to the Blessed Mother? And then what did she say? She asked him again. And then what did you say? He said, no. You said no to Mama Mary? I know, right? And then what happened? Then she took her fist. Then she punched. He said, she punched my chest, grabbed my heart, and said to me, no, you don't seem to understand. I need you to serve me in a special way. And then what did you say? Yes, Mommy. And that was his calling, his first calling to the priesthood. All right, so now, here I am, talking to this priest, Father Philip Pavage, who was a Franciscan, very strict Franciscan. I had to go see him, because here I am all supered up, super happy about opening up the school and Mary, the Blessed Mother, and 777. And then I'm like, okay, so I tell this priest about my dream, and he says, where do you get your source of power from? I said, excuse me, Father? He goes, what word do you get your source of power from? And I says, well, we just say, aya. He goes, no. You use a certain word. How is it that you, weighing only 140 pounds, can break so many boards? Oh, that's a hip-twisting, Father. He goes, no. What word do you get your source of power from? He's like, we just practice. And he goes, don't BS with me.
Oh my gosh.
How is it that you can fly so high? Your powers are extraordinary. Moves a certain way. I'm like, I don't know, Father. And he's yelling at me in this confessional booth. I don't know. And he says, you use words like wuss and ki'ai and wasa. I'm like, well, those are Japanese terminologies. We do Korean. And he goes, do you know what they are? And I'm crying like, no. He goes, those are demon deities. I'm like, what? Memory foam. Told you.
These ones are still going. It's okay.
This one's going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are still going.
Told you. He goes, those are demon deities. I'm like, what? I don't go with no demon. And he goes, well, you know what? You need to go to Mount Kruzevac, and you need to ask God what he wants you to do with your school. Okay, and that's for your confessional, that's for your penance. You need to climb Mount Kruzevac. That's where the Blessed Mother appeared,
uh-huh,
in this mountain. So here I'm in the middle, like at 7 o'clock, at that point the sun's going down, the moon's going up, pitch dark. I'm climbing this mountain. There's wild dogs there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's all terrain, like all, rocks, and you can die, if you fall down. I'm just like, I need to climb this mountain. I'm crying. Like, so I'm at this mountain, at the foot of this cross, and I'm like, God, I thought I was doing your will. Now this priest is saying that it could be the will of the devil, it could be devil influence. I just want to do your will. So at the foot of this cross, where the pilgrims burned their petitions, I took my crucifix, all right? Like this. All right? Oh, good. I usually give away. This is mine, but I usually give away. And I make the sign of the cross, at the foot of the cross. And I put on top of the side, yes. And the other side, no. It says, God, circle for me what you want to do with my school. Yes will mean to open. No will mean to close. Wait, God, I'm sorry. Yes will mean to close, and no will mean to open. Wait, God, I mean, what am I saying? Yes, I was so confused if you had to ask him. I don't know what to do anymore. I was so confused if I had to ask him. I'm like, oh my God. So I climbed back down Mount Kruzevec. It was just pitch black, but the moon lit the path as if I had flashlights, because it was just so bright. The moon lit it for me. Following day, Father Philip Pavage had Mass, and there were thousands of pilgrims. Thousands. And his homily was this: you people don't know between your yeses and your noes. Your yes are your noes, and your noes are your yes. Here I am. I'm freaking out. Like, what is this place? Because the night before, I was confused with my yes and no. Now this man is talking to me. I'm like, God, what am I going to do anymore? So what I did is I talked to several priests in Medjugorje. And I even went to see Father Larry Gysi, who was the expert in occult and mysticism for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And I asked him, Father, I need to know, what I need to do with my school? Because if you tell me to close it, I will close it. Because I don't want to do the, you know. And he says, Carlos, be that light in a world of darkness. And says, Father, that was my purpose. That was my whole purpose of creating K-Connection. To plant seeds of faith. And he goes, good. And now you will know if it's God's will by its fruits. Because what are the fruits, Father? If you're doing something positive for their community, if you're providing positive income for your family, and if there's conversion. Oh, I know there's conversions. I'm only making 300, but now I'm making 600. So I think it's positive income for my family. And now we've brought so many people into the faith. I'm a godparent sponsor for a lot of my students. I don't know how many I have now. Because they want to know what makes me. So on that note, a lot of them, I take them to Mass, and I become their sponsors. And then they become Catholic. So I'm not saying accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but people know that they're intrigued of what I do. And then I invite them to Mass, and they want to know about more of my faith. So it's become a form of a place of evangelization.
Yeah.
All right? Part 3. So that's now, I know now my purpose of what K-Connection, and no one can ever tell me it's the devil. No, I know the devil exists. Trust me. All right, but this place is a place of warriors, and we're trying to do God's will here. All right, so now, part 3 of my story. So here I am, we're having a teen dance, and trying to tell the kids how to party properly. So we're having a teen dance, and over there in the office, I'm showing the kids pictures of Medjugorje. The kids are like, wow, that's really cool. These are miraculous pictures of the sun dancing, and and all these cool pictures. And again, for us people with little faith, me included, sometimes we need a little bit of miracles. Mm-hmm. And again, Our Lady says the miracle of Medjugorje isn't to see the sun dance, or to see rosaries come from the sky, or wait, one more thing. Let me backtrack a little bit. While I was in Medjugorje, balcony, and I was just praising God, and I was thanking Him for being here. And I asked Him, God, can you do me a favor? Can you give me a sign to let me know that you hear me? And He says, but if you don't, that's cool, because I still believe you anyway. But I'd really appreciate a sign, because everyone is seeing these wonders. They're seeing the sun dance. I'm not seeing it. Everyone is being touched somehow, but I would really appreciate a sign. And all of a sudden, at the middle of the night, this is like 12 o'clock midnight, boom, this explosion occurs. And out of that explosion comes streaks of different colors of light, red, yellow, green, like a rainbow almost, out of this, now this is the nighttime, comes out from that explosion. And then, boom, another explosion, then a shooting star. I'm thinking, oh my God, He heard my prayer. He actually heard my prayer. And then I went like John the Baptist, like fanatical sort of. Mm-hmm. I ran out of my room, knocking on people's door. God hears our prayers. Go, 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 go. I went on the streets running around like a madman. God hears our prayers. I'm like crying, sobbing, like, hey, calm down. I know. We all know that. So like, I went fanatical.
Yeah.
Because God gave me that sign, right? So now, coming back, that's why I was just fired up at that point. You know, I came back here knowing, I know, God, you're with us, and help me do your will here. And so anyway, so that's now part three to my dream. So now I'm jacked up. Our Lady, you know, just jacked me up with the juice of whatever she needed to me to wake up my faith. All right? So here I am talking to people about God, you know, Jesus, Medjugorje. So now I'm showing these kids about the picture of Medjugorje, and one of my students, standing in the far end, that corner over there in the school, he's freaked out, he's scared. And I asked him, hey, are you all right? He doesn't hear me, he's just staring up like above me. Travis, are you okay? He doesn't respond. And, you know, he's just like frozen. After the dance, you know, he's just still like shaken. I was about to close the school, he comes back outside. And he says, Mr. Carson, I need to talk to you. I'm like, what's wrong, Travis? I said, I noticed that you were acting really strange. He goes, yes, sir. When you were showing those pictures of Medjugorje, I'm like, yeah? The Blessed Mother appeared in back of you, sir. I'm like, what? She was in back of you. And she looked down at the teens. And she smiled. I'm like, okay. And then she looked down at me and smiled. And then she looked over to where he was standing and smiled at him, and then she disappeared. That's why, if you notice, there's an image of Our Lady, a picture in that part of the office, because that's where she appeared. And I said, okay, Travis, this is between us. I don't want you to tell people, because I don't want to think that you're loony or I'm loony or we're all crazy, because this is very deep. He goes, yes, sir. You know. So that's part to that. So now I have six children. This is now continuing on. I told you this is going to knock them out. And here I am, you know, living my school, and my kids are doing their thing, and you know, and moving to a new home, building a home as I'm moving. I'm having all these six kids, and I buy a piece of property because I built my home. Mm-hmm. But I needed. My dad said, "Carlos, you're going to do what?" I says, "Dad, I'm gonna build my home." You're crazy. You're not a builder. I know I'm not, but God's going to do it for me. And he goes, oh my God, here you go again. All right, Carlos, so I bought a book on how to build a home. And it said, find a property. I found a property. The property beside me is $400,000. $400,000. Because this is a 2-acre property in Arnold, it's wooded, near the water. But this property that I found was worth $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, if this is God, if you want me to buy this, I need a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, I got a letter from the county saying, it's perkable. You can build on that property. Great. All right. Dated August the 5th. I'm buying it. I bought that piece of property.
Do you know why there's such a big price difference? It's just
You can't find a 2-acre lot around Arnold near the water for $50,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this isn't a penny saver. All right. So, okay, I bought that property. It took me a year to get my building permit, but it took me 6 months to build my home. All right? It took me 6 months to build my home. I moved in August 5th. Gone year. All right? So, Our Lady, okay, so we built this home, all right? Father Leo is blessing the home, and all of a sudden, Alyssa, my daughter, I think she was 7 years old, she was saying, Daddy, look on top of Uncle Joey's head. I'm like, honey, shh, Uncle Joey is blessing the home. Daddy, what is it? He said, it's a ghost bird on top of his head. A ghost bird, the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, honey.
Whatever.
As Father Leo continued to bless the home, he was blessing the living room into the foyer. Alyssa would say, "Daddy, Daddy, look, 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 look." I said, "What are you talking about now? There's angels flying around." "Alyssa, there's angels flying around. What are they doing?" "Singing. What are they singing?" "Hallelujah, hallelujah." I guess, okay, whatever, honey, whatever. Found out to be that day was the Feast of the Holy Angels.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so anyway, so now you got these kids singing. Jagmac is created. We're a group now. We are trademarked. We got the license back. August the 5th.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so I'm going to stop here because I'm just saying to you that Our Lady has her hands here in this project. You know, when Our Lady is involved, she's going to magnify Christ so much.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to use, she needs each one of us to do the will of her Son.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. That ends my story.
That is an incredible story. Oh my gosh.
That's why Jagmac has purpose. My kids, they're meant to go out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they're doing is amazing. When they're singing in front of 20,000, 20 to 30,000, you have people Facebooking or Instagramming saying, "Since I met you, I stopped cutting myself."
Mm-hmm.
They have such a magnetic personality and a way to positively affect them in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is where I belong.
Mm-hmm.
They belong out there to influence the world. So please, I ask you to pray for me, the school, and for Jagmac.
Definitely. That's truly an amazing story.
I know.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cross, for sharing that.
We need to do lunch now, though, because I'm about to eat a horse and a cow and three pigs. Do you have any other questions? I know.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm still, like, soaking it all in.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember even at Karate International, there was one time you went to the Philippines.
Yes.
And I think when you came back, you gave out some rosaries.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a father. Yeah, there was a strong, I guess it was like a strong Russian Jewish community there.
Yes.
And there was a father that got mad at you, or, you know, just got upset at it. But I don't know, for whatever reason, it really, I think the gesture, I mean, certainly that moment when he was upset stuck in my mind, but the gesture was important. And I remember when Jen and I got married, you know, when we were trying to decide, you know, what we were going to give for favors, I actually wanted to give rosaries. But my mom was, you know, she was very hesitant because, you know, it might be... I remember because she was like, you know, people might get offended. And I was just... And I remember that situation. We didn't end up giving rosaries, so it's not... I don't have a very noble end of the story. But I just remember feeling like, well, I mean,
why not?
Is our faith. This
yes.
is... Marriage is about our faith. It's not like a... I mean, yes, it can be a nice party, but this is... You know, like
sacrament.
Yeah, sacrament, and plus it's our wedding.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember, you know, and you've always been, it's always been very apparent. And I remember when I told you, I either was about to get married or I just got married, and you had like a rosary ring, and you I wore that for a long time.
Oh, I gave that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And you know, I think, for myself as someone that loves martial arts, loves Filipino martial arts, as a Filipino-American growing up here, you know, there's a lot of similarities. But I think for yourself and your family, it's always been very moving and inspiring how much you can integrate everything together. And I remember even, you know, when Father Leo had we went to, like, his first mass. It wasn't his ordination, but it was, like, his first, I don't even remember what church. And then there was, like, a reception afterwards. And, you know, when, you know, we were, like, online, you know, saying whatever, congratulations or something. And I saluted him. I did, like, you know, our, like,
mm-hmm.
FMA salute. And he, like, saluted back. And I just thought it was a very cool thing, you know, for, obviously for yourself, but for your entire family. You know, even with these, I can't wait to, I'd like to interview Miss Maria and your dad also.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this story really ties in a lot of stuff that I had been wanting to ask you. I mean, like,
now,
sort
you
of
know,
like how it fits in with martial arts and
yeah.
your faith and your identity and, you know.
Look at Guru Dan's, you know, he has several, but there was a shirt that you gave you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
It had the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel. All right, we're warriors.
Yeah.
You know, we are in a spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Leo talks about that a lot. And as it's only benefiting to us as doing the Filipino martial arts with the swords. Look at St. Michael the Archangel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because at the end of the day, you know, like when I go into my office, when I change,
mm-hmm.
when I put on my uniform, my dobok, I don't know if you heard of the Ephesians 6, the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
I say that prayer. I visualize putting on my uniform, put on me the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword, which is your word, and the foot gives its yield. And I say, God, help me, inspire me, so that I can inspire these souls to come closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I walk out from my office, I go through that, like this, so it's for me now to go out to my students and to be that warrior so I can impart whatever God wants me to teach that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my purpose.
Yeah. Hold on one second.